This is El Puente Podcast, POC conversation at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between. Don't just sit there, stand up. Don't just listen, join the conversation with Kim, Dave, and Michael.
So I think the idea was that you wanted us to introduce ourselves, right?
Yes. Yeah, let's get started with that.
Okay, you start first.
My name is Michael. I'm a multidisciplinary artist and independent curator based in Austin. Do a lot of sculpture installation, performance, and now some photography. Yeah, that's kind of what I do.
He's multi.
What's your relationship to us? Dave and Michael. Kim.
That's
what
That's a great question.
That's a good way to start, yeah.
Yeah. So my name is Dave, and I'm here because I'm one of Michael's many friends. And he approached me with this idea of...
I'd like to contest that.
What's that? What do you
just I don't many?
Have, yeah, one I don't have many. I have a lot of acquaintances and people I'm friendly with, but like people that I consider friends, like it's you two.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
Okay.
But
don't my... Don't downgrade his status now, Dave.
My point was that I'm one of the people that Michael knows, and he approached me about contributing to this podcast for people, about people of color's issues, and he knows mm-hmm. that's one thing that I'm particularly very passionate about. I am a local educator, and I'm also kind of an artistic heart, and I love... doing and listening to things like this. So when he asked me, I said I had to be here. So I'm happy to be here.
Yes, and I'm so happy to be here too. It gives me a life outside of being a mother. Mm-hmm.
And a teacher, and a musician, and a wife.
and a cook. Amongst other things.
Yes.
I have very colorful relationships
yeah.
in my personal life. So mm-hmm.
Some would even say rainbow colored.
Yeah, definitely rainbow. definitely rainbow. I love these two guys I'm getting a podcast with. They are probably the best friends. You know, they're the ones that I'd call if I was in the hospital. Yeah. Yes. And
you probably have.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure I have called.
I think I remember at least one time.
Yeah, y'all were there for the birth of the baby.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
So, two times.
yeah, but I have a son. And, I am also passionate on issues that affect everyone, but I have a special place in my heart for people of color, mm-hmm. For our strength, and for just everything that we have survived through mm-hmm. and thriving now yeah. as a community, yeah. but we've got a long way to go.
And going back to your... or the comment I made about the rainbow, I mean, that's a lot of what we'll be talking about too, is LGBTQ
yes.
issues. But I can consider that part of the POC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They just, you know, you have the rainbow color, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly needed these days. You know, we need these voices out there, so I'm really excited that you decided to take this project on here. I think, especially where we live, here in the heart of Texas, mm-hmm. Sometimes our issues can get buried, I think, in the mainstream media. I think that a lot of our concerns are often overlooked, and I think that we find strength when we band together, all the different colors of the rainbow getting together and fighting for what's right. And so I hope that this podcast part serves yeah. a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And that's where kind of the name of the podcast came from, El Puente.
Is that what we're calling it?
oh, sarcasm.
He hasn't read the emails.
Sorry.
but El Puente in Spanish means the bridge. That's and right. so that's what we're talking about here. So it's I would say it's more than just a POC or LGBTQ issues podcast. I would say it's more of advertising and, you know, promoting the idea of be more intersectional in your mm-hmm. friendships. And yeah, I think that's important.
Making bridges.
Yeah, especially now because we all need more friends.
Well, and I think a bridge is where we all meet from our different points of view. And I can say one of the things that I really want to see people of color do is really unite as one people versus all these different factions. I think mm-hmm. it's important for us to note the differences, but LGBTQ versus, the Black community, that's something that I feel like we really need to unite that group of people, because yep. when we go to the polls and we have people of color not understanding other people of color and holding ourselves back from the freedoms and equality that everyone deserves, mm-hmm. I feel like that is a point where we got to come to the middle and have a conversation about what's right for all of us.
Yeah. So I think a really great way to start off maybe our first episode is to dive right in and start talking about sex.
Yeah.
Sex. And disease.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Disease.
No, I wanted to talk about this case that I recently saw, and I wanted to bring it to you guys here to talk about it. I think it's the third or the fourth case, fourth now, case of a man who is taking PrEP, that's pre-exposure, whatever it's called, where you take a pill, Truvada. As you can tell, I'm not a scientist, but PrEP, it's called PrEP.
Okay, Sarah Palin.
But what you do is you take a pill, it's called Truvada, or there's generics out there now too. You take a pill every day, and it's supposed to help prevent getting HIV if you forego using condoms and things like that. Been approved by the CDC now for many years, and it's gaining popularity among gay men. Mm-hmm. If you visit gay media, you'll see it's all over gay media now, PrEP and Truvada. And a lot of men are taking it now, thinking that there's a chance that they're not going to get HIV if they stop using condoms. And what is going on is we're starting to see, this is the fourth reported case of a man who's actually on Truvada becoming infected with the disease, with the virus, even though he was taking the Truvada as prescribed. And mm-hmm. I wanted to see what you guys thought about what's going on with that. And I think this is an issue that's really important to people of color, as the figures bear out, mm-hmm. Black men and mm-hmm. brown men, gay men are some of the highest numbers of people who get HIV. And
well, there's the whole undercover because of mm-hmm. religion and just community.
On the down low.
Yeah, being on the down low, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
but I think at the same time that, the word is getting out about PrEP being a great thing for gay men to not get HIV. Mm-hmm. Is it really as safe as being reported? What are you guys' thoughts about that?
I mean, how many people do you think are on it?
Well, according to pause.com, and we're going to be posting some of these links up on our website later so you guys can take a look and read these too. They cited over hundreds of thousands of men are taking Truvada nowadays, and the statistics bear out that although there have been four cases where people taking Truvada were actually infected with HIV, the vast majority of men and women who are taking this medication are in fact not getting or not developing the virus, even though some of them are engaging in what would mm-hmm. be considered risky sexual behaviors, mm-hmm. i.e. having sex without condoms. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, this article cited something really interesting. They're starting to ask questions about why, when you're taking Truvada, you would become infected with the virus, even though they know it's very effective. And they've come to the conclusion, if I just quote this article in pause, that they find that these men who were infected because not only were they, they were taking their medications as prescribed, but they were also engaging in a high number of unprotected sexual situations. So maybe it was the case that even though they were protected, because they were, and I don't know if this is a family show, were effing so many people.
Oh, please don't say the word effing.
Okay. Boffing.
Screwing.
No, say fucking. Come on.
But I think what they're finding out is that these people had extraordinarily prolific sexual encounters, mm-hmm. and that probably overwhelmed the protection that the pill gave.
That's scary though. You gotta be weird because then that's almost like it becomes like a moralistic thing.
In what way?
As far as like churches say, you know, for being a slut.
Yeah, I think we just have to be, we need to back up all the way up because it doesn't, you never take medication, I mean, to give yourself permission to be risky about sex. I mean, the rules are the same. It doesn't matter to me. It's, you should still be using protection. And I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. It's just, you know, does your life matter to you or not? I mean, don't you put all of your bets on a pill, which we have found so, I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, the pharmaceutical company go back and say, oh, you know, this actually caused this. And then there's these lawsuits that said, if you had this encounter with this drug,
yeah.
I mean, we can't, we have to keep ourselves educated.
Yeah. And could it be that maybe just the medicine doesn't work for those particular people?
Well, you never, I that's think that's one point. Of the things that the scientists are going to be looking at. But to your point, Kim, you have a great point there. As and if you listeners out there are wondering, if you maybe this is the first time you're hearing about PrEP, you should be aware that PrEP only protects you against HIV. It doesn't protect you against any other sexually transmitted diseases. So,
sure.
You know, all the idias and the arenas.
I went to school with her. Yeah,
I think several of us have gone to school with her and met her. But anyway, so the point is this. It doesn't protect you against those things. So to Kim's point, you know, you guys can't just drop the condoms, even though you're taking the Truvada. I know a lot of guys do. I don't know. Has that been your experience out there with meeting guys, you know, that are in a sexual mood? What's going on out there these days?
Well, I'm not having sex. That's
that solves the problem.
That's what's not going on out
See,
there.
See, abstinence. That's the solution, abstinence, right? Abstinence. Oh,
this is turning into like...
It's so realistic.
Fucking right wing. podcast.
Yeah, we are not a right wing.
Ironically, I do not believe in abstinence. I will say that right now. Well, I'm gonna, never have been.
Okay, yeah. No abstinence, but I will profess something to you since we are very very honest. I take Truvada, and I've been taking it for over 2 years, and it has literally changed my life, my sex life, and I'll explain why. Because a lot of people want to use the moniker or call us Truvada whores. I know you guys have probably heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're on PrEP, you're a Truvada whore, you just want to spread your legs and everything like that. I say to those people, hey, no, I am not a Truvada whore. I was a whore who got on Truvada. And so, but having said that, it has literally, I think, saved my life. And it's also made me more sexually... in touch with my body and my needs. I think one of the biggest problems that a lot of gay men are having or have had over the 2 or 3 decades we've had HIV is that at some point you just don't want to use condoms. And if we're being really honest about with ourselves about sexuality and the way sex has been for eons since, you know, man first crawled out of the ocean.
Yeah.
Men and women were not made to have sex with plastic wrapped on their genitals. So, I think for a lot of people like me, it has been a godsend that it will free you up in case you happen to have that night where things get a little out of control and whoops, there you go. You just made a mistake. Where that mistake used to be fatal for so many men, now it's actually not a death sentence. Yeah. So,
or potentially fatal.
Potentially fatal.
Yeah.
So I think we're in interesting times, guys, because on the one hand, the medications are advancing and giving men like me, gay men like me, a new lease on their sexual life.
Yeah,
at the same time, it's not 100%, folks. You got to be aware. So like Kim says, you still got to wrap it up.
I do believe, and this may be the old fashioned Kim. I do believe that you should still be careful with one night stands, probably even with the medication. I mean, I understand that it feels good without the condom, but is that person worth the risk? You know, on a one night stand, I just think it should be. People still have to use common sense.
The answer is no, they're not worth it, kids, in case you were wondering.
It is funny how a lot of these things that we're talking about now, it makes us sound a lot more conservative than I thought we were.
Oh, wow.
Is it just because we're getting old?
That may be part of it. Yeah, we're all in our 40s, so.
Dude, I think it's more, I think it's a life experience. I mean, I think it has nothing to do with age. I think, you know what? I've had my sexual partners, and I think I've learned the hard way that it's not worth it to...
put yourself at risk.
Put yourself at risk.
But okay, but then let's add this to the... Because, you know, we're all talking, you know, it's could lead to death, but, like, nowadays, the treatment for HIV, it's not a death, you know, it's not
That's true.
It's not a death sentence. It's an, you know, you're going to have to be on medicine.
Forever.
But, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, diabetic.
I mean, that could be...
Thyroid issues.
Exactly.
So.
So you think a lot of guys are what? Making the calculation that... What exactly?
I don't know.
It's not as scary anymore.
It's not
it
as
used
scary.
To be in the 80s.
Yeah.
If you had AIDS, it was. HIV.
Back then, it was like considered a death sentence.
Yeah, I should say HIV specifically. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why we have the quilt and things like that. But yeah, I mean, people can live totally normal lives now for, you know, the rest of a normal lifespan.
And God bless them for that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Medicine's amazing, guys. Well, stay tuned. We will be following that.
Oh, yes.
To see what happens. But, guys, just remember, be safe out there no matter what.
Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to turn to a segment that...
Chickens.
Yay, chicken.
I didn't get that email chickens. Either.
Oh.
No, we're going to turn to a segment that we're going to be repeating throughout our podcast every now and then. It's called The Clapback Heard Around the World. Since this is our first podcast, we don't really know how this works yet. All the idea is giving voice to people who, whether on Twitter, social media, or just their own media outlets, take the time to clap back against those conservative or intolerant voices out there who always feel like they have something to say and
about other people's lives.
About other people's lives and just need to be put in their place for a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're calling this segment The Clapback Heard Around the World. Yes. And for today's...
It is The Clapback.
Are we going to... Is that going to be our sound effect? The Clapback. Anyway, we're going to talk about... And this has actually been a couple of weeks ago. You guys, of course, all know now about the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida. Mm-hmm. Terrible, terrible.
How can we not?
Yeah, everywhere. And, of course, the 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, who, you know, armed with the AR-15, opened fire, killing, I think it was up to 17 people, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Just a terrible tragedy. Of course, like any tragedy that involves shootings and things like that, very controversial, which prompts your conservative voices like the infamous Tomi Lahren. Am I saying her right name right?
Tomi?
I can't remember her
name. Oh, I don't know.
It's the blonde one, you know, not the other one. The
other blonde one.
It's like, you know, it's the younger blonde one.
It's not Skeletor in a wig.
Tomi Lahren, she's an infamous conservative commentator out there. You've probably seen her and yelled at your Facebook wall feed. She went to Twitter recently or after the shooting to, of course, voice her opinion. And she said, and I'm going to read from her Twitter here, "Can the left let the families grieve for even 24 hours before they push their anti-gun and gun owner agenda? My goodness, this isn't about gun control. It's about another lunatic, excuse me. Hashtag Florida shooting." You know, my immediate thought after that was, what are you doing? Girl, what are you doing? I mean, we're seeing the images of these children running out of a high school after the most egregious, horrible
The most horrible thing they've experienced.
You could possibly experience. And here you are on Twitter giving you, no one asks for your opinion. And here you are spewing this in this ridiculousness, right? Normally, the clapbacks usually come from other Hollywood elites and stars and things like that. And, you know, we love the clapbacks from the stars. Yes. They're fun to read.
Yes.
Well, today's clapback heard around the world came from one of the students at the high school.
Oh,
she goes by the name of Carly, who just hours after Tomi or Tori, whatever her name is, sent out that Twitter, she responded, and I'm going to read her clapback. This was amazing. It says, "Carly, I was hiding in a closet for 2 hours. It was about guns. You weren't there. You don't know how it felt.
Yes.
Guns give these disgusting people the ability to kill other human beings. This is about guns, and this is about all the people who had their life abruptly ended because of guns.
Yes.
I think we need a sound effect. I think
You should clap the last sentence.
Clap. It doesn't quite work. But the point is this. What a great clap back. I think the reason why it's such a good clap back is because Carly has a great point, right, guys? Yeah. It's like, you weren't there. So how can you even possibly try to put yourselves in this
the
argument?
Same way that you can have a room full of Republican men making decisions about women's bodies.
Exactly. It's being out of touch. Most of the time, these people that say these things have never been in those situations.
Yeah.
They've been out hunting with their best friends. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say it like that because you guys might be surprised about this. I believe in gun ownership. I believe in gun control. When it hit close to me, when I got threatened by a neighborhood of people to be shot up, believe me, I was ready to go out and protect myself and have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that there should be checks and balances, very strict, because you can take somebody's life away.
Yeah.
I believe in gun control for the sake of those events.
Mm-hmm.
Home protection.
I subscribe to the whole comparison of guns to cars.
Yes.
Like, you should have to take a test.
Yes.
You know, you should have to get a license and, like, make it all just the same process.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance is the huge one. Liability insurance. You know, so if you shoot somebody,
you better
by accident or not, you're like, no. And I mean, what's so radical about that idea?
Yeah, I know. That's a thing to me. It's just common sense again.
Yeah. Well, I can see for sure that this is going to be an issue that is going to be discussed many, many, many times in the future. I think the sad thing is that, you know, this Parkland shooting is probably not going to be the last time
this
is going to happen.
But fortunately, it does feel different this time.
Yeah.
Like, and I applaud those amazing fucking kids who are taking their future, our future, into their hands.
Yes, and they're fighting.
Yes.
And they're not intimidated, too. That's the thing
and,
I love about it.
You know, and like there's a queer and POC and voice in it.
Beautiful.
You know, there does need to be more attention paid to the other POC kids at that school.
Absolutely.
And their voices.
But I think the kids who are getting the limelight now would even acknowledge that. Everything I've seen of these Parkland students has been inspiring.
Yeah.
They're so vocal. Mm-hmm. They're not taking BS. Mm-hmm. They're calling BS. I think the thing I love most about their stance was when they first got on television and said, enough with your thoughts and your fucking prayers.
Yes.
And I was like, thank God somebody actually said that on TV. Yeah. I've been waiting for somebody to say that to these politicians forever.
Yeah. In fact, it wouldn't be bad if they gave us thoughts and prayers and some action.
Yeah,
there you go.
Thoughts and prayers and action.
We're not saying there's anything wrong with thoughts and prayers.
No.
But you gotta go beyond that. It's like, pray for the poor pregnant girl, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you leave her stranded, don't have any opportunities with Planned Parenthood. Mm-mm. You know, I'm sorry, I jumped topics, but it's very
hollow.
Comparable.
Yeah,
it's very hollow. It's a hollow sentiment that's not meant to be backed up.
Yeah.
And we know that. And I think we're thankful that the kids are calling that now to attention.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and that's why our first clap back goes to Carly. Thank you, Carly,
for being
one of those students who's clapping back. Girl, clapping back.
We got to work on that clap thing.
Collaborative. We sound like Oprah. Something about the clapping and the chanting. This segment is called I Hear Ya, right?
Yes, this segment is called
I Hear Ya.
I Hear Ya.
You said it wrong, Michael. It's I Hear Ya.
I Hear Ya.
That
was getting kind of Bill Clinton.
I heard.
Work on it. But anyway, with I Hear You guys, we want to talk about music. We want to talk about pop culture. We want to talk about underground culture, hip-hop culture, whatever culture. We want to talk about music and art and just what's going on out there. So what's going on right now is recently Bruno Mars, I guess maybe you saw or maybe you didn't, won 6 Grammys recently.
All right, go ahead.
I think Album of the Year, Record of the Year. You know, Bruno Mars is definitely having his moment. Do you guys know Bruno Mars' real name?
Mm-mm. I do not. If I hear it, I'll be like, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But
because Kim is the musician of the group and yes. music teacher. So
yes.
So yes. Yeah.
A phenomenal musician.
Wow, mm-hmm. that's really mm-hmm. kind, you guys.
But Bruno Mars's real name is Peter Hernandez. He's 32 years old. He is a Filipino, Puerto Rican, and Jewish descent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you guys know he's very popular for making music. Obviously, a Grammy winner. And the recent topic of a lot of controversy, whether or not he is, in fact, a musical appropriator. Someone who steals from the cultures of other people and kind of props them off as his own.
Oh, my God.
So I hear you're skeptical already, so...
I am. I think that's fucking ridiculous. I mean, just, come on. I mean, we always got to take something. That man grew up poor. He has overcome so much in his life. Who gives a goddamn? I mean, really, I mean, I believe that we should give props to those of color. He is a man of color. He's lived a low socioeconomic status. And he has overcome many things in his life that a lot of people would have sat down and gave up. And I think that people talk about what's mine, what's yours. It's just like saying, oh, this is my land and this is... Come on. It belongs to everybody.
So do you believe in negative cultural appropriation in any way or form?
I do believe that there are times when that is the case. Mm-hmm. I do... But the ways, I think it's how that the artist portrays themselves and their behavior yeah. with adopting other cultures.
Would you say it's very much like racism where it's, okay, for example, like, I'm gonna say the W word, people. It's the Uh-oh. First time on the podcast saying it. You know, white people.
We should have that little thing that goes every time you say that. Sorry. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Leap it out. You know, with racism, where like if it's the person in power, if does that change the connotation of it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like you know, at work, sexual harassment, it means it's like much worse if it's like your boss. Harassing you,
mm-hmm. you know, because of their position.
Or the same thing, you know, like I said, with racism, when white people are in power,
mm-hmm.
and when they do shit against POCs, is that worse than, let's say, two people of color who aren't in the majority?
Wow, that's doing a really great question. Other?
I don't
that's
know.
A really big question. Well, yeah. let me just throw in there a couple of things of why this story is even on my radar. I don't know if you guys saw the recent viral video where a YouTuber named, and I hope I say her name right, Serene Sensi. I hope I'm saying your name right because I really appreciate your work. She's a YouTuber out there. You can mm-hmm. click on the links and see it. And I think we might post the link to it on our website. She recently went viral discussing this very topic. She, of course, is a black YouTuber, and mm-hmm. she's very pro-black, pro-people of color, pro-millennial. She's a millennial. And she wasn't holding back on Bruno Mars. In fact, she stated if he was... he's not black at all. He just plays up his racial ambiguity to cross genres, she says.
And okay, I'm going to interject. He's Puerto Rican.
Well, you know, and that some people have raised that. It's like you have to acknowledge the black roots in Puerto Rican
yeah,
culture.
That's what I'm saying. Part of their culture.
I think coming from her, she's just very, she doesn't see that, and she's a young black woman herself. But okay. she goes on to argue that people are starting to realize that white people prefer getting their black culture, their black music from a non-black face. So her right. argument is basically he can take black culture and present it in a more friendly fashion to white audiences, to your point, Michael, about mm-hmm. and it's just a safer form for them to ingest that culture that they love so much.
Yeah.
I think her argument is that Bruno Mars is really just a, and I think she just said this, he's more of a karaoke singer is what she calls
him.
She says that he just takes black music and reproduces it, doesn't change it, doesn't make it better, just does it for white audiences, and it feels mm-hmm. safer for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just saying what she says. Don't shoot the messenger, but y'all can check out the link.
Yeah. Mm. Well, okay.
I'm in opposition.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, think about it this way, Dave, then. Like, a group that we both really like, Calle 13, mm-hmm. like, the whole rap genre.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Puerto Rican group.
Yeah. Are they appropriating hip-hop?
Yeah.
It's a great question, you guys. I mean, hip-hop is, like, the most popular music form around the world.
Music belongs to everybody. Music belongs to everybody.
Yeah. See, think about it. Rock and roll used to be...
Rock and roll is black music that everybody loves.
I think you just got to give people music, their proper... Music, I'm sorry.
Proper... No, it's fine. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. But proper credit and...
acknowledge
and,
the roots.
And lift those communities.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, Stevie Wonder, I think, has the last word on this segment, y'all, because he is in agreement with, I think, all of us, especially you, Kim. Stevie Wonder was recently asked about this Bruno Mars controversy, and Stevie was not having it. In fact, I have a quote from Stevie. He says, quote, "Here's the thing. God created music for all of us to enjoy. You know, it's you shouldn't, what does he say? We cannot limit ourselves by people's fears and insecurities. He's a great talent," meaning Bruno Mars, "a great talent, so all the other stuff is just bullshit." that's coming from Stevie. Yeah. So
yes, go ahead, Stevie.
I think Stevie's point is our point, is that music is universal, and if we wanted to break down barriers in the first place, you know, why don't we all just appropriate each other's stuff?
Yeah.
God, it's a really tricky question, isn't it?
Now, if you're to put it on a minstrel show.
Then we got a problem.
Then we got problems.
Then we got a problem. Or Miley Cyrus twerking. We got a problem. We can't do that.
I think the problem comes when people adopt it as theirs and give no recognition to where it came from.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know your background. Yeah. You got to know your history.
What is a proper way to do that?
I think when you're being interviewed, when people talk about your song, you talk about the roots.
Yes.
Your roots, your influences.
Yes.
I think you have a responsibility, just as if you're sampling somebody's stuff.
I like that.
I agree with that. And I also think, and you know, agree with this notion that music is for everybody. It's the one thing that we have, I think, more than anything in the universe, to tear down walls between people. I mean, think about it. I say that Mick Jagger and the Beatles and all those white bands from the 60s who used to do black music and say, "We got this listening from black people in America, and why don't you Americans don't realize how great it is you have it in your own country?"
Amen.
Those artists did more for civil rights than you could argue a lot of other people have done, because they opened minds.
Yes.
And that's the important thing. It's about opening minds, tearing down walls, building bridges, puentes, o lo que sea, in the communities and between communities. So.
Yeah.
And what are you afraid of if someone else is adopting your culture?
Well, I could see, like, if people, a person of a certain background who's not of another produces some kind of art and they are banking on it and, like, doing really well, whereas somebody from that original background is not.
That's
like.
Then we get dicey.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, obviously, that's a topic we'll probably be talking about a lot more too.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what's going on. I don't know. Maybe we should have like a thing on our website that like people can give their opinions. Yeah. About what do you guys think?
Exactly.
Do you think Bruno Mars is a cultural appropriator?
What do you think about Leontine Price having sung opera?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's like human beings are going to borrow. But more than
borrow,
anything,
don't steal.
Influence.
Borrow, don't steal.
Yeah. Borrow, don't steal. Give
credit where credit is due. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So our next segment, it's called No Ma'am.
No Ma'am.
No
with
Ma'am.
With the finger.
Yes.
So what is No Ma'am?
So No Ma'am is, it's similar to Clap Back. Heard around the world, but it's more about us calling shit out.
Okay, so we get to call shit out. We get to read.
Yes.
The library is open.
And
the church finger is up.
And just you don't think that we're being prejudiced anyway. We have another segment that will address the other end of this as well.
Okay.
But these are generally, not always, generally... save for the white peoples.
Oh no. Oh my god. Direct your emails at him. Just kidding.
We
gotta be able to laugh at each other.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's a little bit racist.
Yes.
Oh my lord. So what is in today's segment of No Ma'am?
No Ma'am is and not so much about white people, but entitlement in general.
Okay. That's
to where but I mean they're not synonymous, but you know, nobody does it better. Let's put it that way. See, I'm putting in positive terms.
Yeah, we want to stay positive. We definitely want to stay positive.
Yeah.
So today's episode of No Ma'am.
Yeah. So dealing with that whole entitlement, to the point that you're oblivious to anyone around you. Why people in grocery stores with their cart standing in the middle of the aisle blocking everybody.
Right. Can I get an amen? An
amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they will not move until you nudge their cart.
Oh, yeah. I've had to accidentally bump into some people.
Oh, yeah.
Quote, end quote. Yeah.
I mean, I generally say, excuse me.
Okay.
Oh, I always say, excuse me. But...
Yes. I mean, they can't hear me because I've put their head in a bag of rice.
Because when I accidentally bumped into the...
So wait a second. So explain this, because this is so...
Is that something that you've not experienced?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Oh, so basically what you're saying is that, you know, generally they're speaking. There's a lot of people of, you know, Caucasian people, which I'm going to say it, who are so oblivious to the other people around them, or maybe so feel so entitled to their position that they just block the aisles with their grocery baskets, mm-hmm. and they're screaming, mm-hmm. children and all the groceries, all the
yeah.
food. Or you're in the shoe store and you need to look at some shoes.
Now, if it's a mom who has kids, I am a little more lenient, just because I mean that's some hard work.
To be oblivious
taking kids to the store. But I'm talking about, like, you know, just some woman standing there taking her time looking at the cans of green beans, wow. and you know, and they don't. It's not like their backs are turned to you. They can see you, mm-hmm. but they're not reacting to your presence.
Interesting.
It's like, this is my store. You're on my time.
Yes. This is my store.
Yes. Underling, yes. just wait.
Yes. You know, and I will say that eight out of 10 times when I say, excuse me first, and then I'll generally get a response.
What kind of response?
They'll move their cart.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a also.
I thought you said they gave you stank eye.
Oh, you get some stank eye too.
Does it come with a roll of the eye, though? Does it come with a...
They can.
You're inconveniencing them because you've asked.
You can.
That
is definitely. but I'm saying it's just like this. It's almost like a negligence more than an outright physical reaction that they have,
mm-hmm.
or acceptance of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're neglecting the fact that there are other people around you in this world that need to do things.
Interesting. Yeah. So here's my experience with that, as mm-hmm. far as, I'm just going to keep it very narrow to not, you know, make it too wide of a subject, but white
too
people,
wide of a subject?
Too too wide, not too white. So when I'm in a grocery store walking down the aisle or doing my grocery shopping, my reaction is always the opposite. They are like so trying to get out of my way as quickly as possible. I get the other spectrum because I don't know if you guys
look like Malcolm X. That's why. We got a mad black man that could.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys who are listening, you're like, well, what does he look like? He's a 200-pound black man who.
Bearded
black man.
A gorgeous
shaved
black
head.
Male.
Thank you, guys.
Shaved head.
He's got a little belly. He's been working on it. But, you know, he lifts weights and everything like that. And what I normally get is the very, like,
the
it's such an unnecessary...
The parting of the seas.
Well, the clutch your purse is like the stereotype, but yes, of course you get that. But, like, also, too, it's just like the, like, oh, I'm so sorry, let me get out of your way kind of thing. It's like, I get apologized more by white people about being in... They're being in my way, then it's totally necessary.
As it should be.
It's like, just relax, okay? Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to fucking apologize and clutch your purse and scout your fucking...
Would you say that's the reaction because we live in a more liberal city? Whereas, like, they're overcompensating?
Maybe, but I don't really even consider it liberalism. That's a great question. Because we're in Austin, you guys, and listeners out there. We're in Austin, and whenever I go shopping out, say, in the boondocks here in Texas, in the red parts of Texas, they may be the most racist people out there, but in the grocery store, they're still socially polite. They're still Southern. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are Southern, you know what I'm talking about. Mm. They'll give you a beautiful Southern smile. Excuse me, let me get out your way. But deep down their side, they're calling you a nigger.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's either or.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To your question, yeah, probably that the liberalism, the Fox liberalism might be a part of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, just calm down. You don't have to apologize when you're, you know what I mean? Standing mm-hmm. in a line and I'm standing in a line. Yeah. We're both standing in a line.
Because
we're both miserable. It's taking too long at HEB.
See, I do that though. I'm an apology person. Okay. And you are too. Oh, I know Kim is.
Opinions are like assholes. Some actually don't stink. And so we're going to be talking, this is all about opinions. Mm-hmm, and so what's happening here? Okay, today we're just going to talk dirty a second since it was my week to come up with the piece to talk about. I want to talk about sex some more. And I want to talk about this thing called top privilege, which is going around in gay circles, this acknowledgement that, like, even in the subset of the gay community, there are still privileges. You know, mm-hmm. obviously white men are going to have more privileges than people of color.
Yep.
But even in the gay community, tops actually experience more privilege than bottoms.
Whoa.
Yes, it is a very interesting idea. So here, I'm just going to quote, and you guys can check this out too on gaystarnews.com. Great article that was put out. Great website too for you guys, you gay guys out there, and gay women. But do tops really experience more privilege when it comes to sex and everything like that? And so it listed a couple of areas where you could consider that tops actually have a lot better than us bottoms. So we're talking about the STD risk, the risk of acquiring an infection. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're a top, you have less chance of acquiring a disease than if you're a bottom. Social privileges, and even within the gay community, it's argued that a top is still seen as more masculine, more closer to being a man mm-hmm. than actually being the guy who takes it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fascinating. Something called paint shaming.
Paint shaming.
Need I explain what this is? Do we want to go into this? The family show.
Is this poo?
Yes, this is poo.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean,
I've never heard of that
but
phrase.
This is actually a real phenomenon, guys, out there. There is a problem with paint shaming in the gay community. You guys know what I'm talking about. Us bottoms have to put in way more work to get ready for the big night than tops. All tops got to do is, you know, maybe shower. And some of y'all aren't. I know. But
some people like that. Some people like that.
But the point is that us bottoms, we've got to go through hell to get ready for the big act. And do tops enjoy that privilege because of that? And then on the occasional chance that something awful does happen in the poo department in bed, you know, we're the ones who have to absorb that shame, absorb that, you know, that shit,
for lack of a better word. You need to absorb the shit. That sounds complicated.
For lack of a better word.
Wow.
So I just want to open up to you guys. Like, I mean, you know, what do you guys think? Is this a thing?
Wow.
I mean, apparently it is. If there's a phrase for it,
a lot of people feel this way.
Yeah.
I've seen negative reactions to people being bottoms. I could see where bottoms probably get less respect for masculinity and, you know, all the pillow bite or whatever. You know, they just...
Probably, you know, especially in the black community, wouldn't you
yes,
say?
Yes, yes. Definitely in the black
community. Yes. I could see that.
I mean, I saw it at the comedy show. I mean, it was... It really upset me, and that's one of the reasons why.
Oh, what comp?
I saw a comedy show in San Antonio with big comedians, Theo Hughley, George Lopez.
So they're still using homophobic kind of...
There's homophobic stuff in there, and it's usually towards taking it.
Yes.
They don't really talk about the tops.
Yeah.
It's usually the bottoms.
Yeah. Just recently, Jimmy Kimmel was called out in an article I saw.
I saw that. What was that about?
Because he was... going after, who was it? Was it Hannity? I think it was Hannity.
I think it was one of those Fox guys.
Yeah. And so he was, to insult him, he was talking about eating Donald Trump's ass. And like, but like, that's a punishment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's such a gay thing. Wow. Like a gay bottom thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, or so that's the, you know? Yeah, that's very much the point. It's it was Sean Hannity. He went after Sean Hannity. Told a homophobic joke. We haven't heard the
joke.
Two of
them, I think.
But, you know, that's an easy, that's low-hanging fruit for these comedians, right? And exactly. I think that's the point that I think a lot of bottoms are trying to make, is that not only are we usually the butt of the joke for, you know, lack of a better pun there, we're the butt of the joke for, you know, homophobic jokes with comedians or whatnot, but then it's always in the context of being a bottom is somehow bad. Yeah. I think a lot of people would argue, too, that a lot of gay men have internalized that homophobia. And that's why, even within our own community, there is this shaming, this bottom shaming, as far as, like, the top is still seen as more masculine, or at least closer to the straight ideal, even though you're still sticking it in people's butts.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then our bottom friends, our bottom brothers, you know. And as a proud bottom myself, let me just tell you, the whole preparation process for a night is something that is very work intensive, and it's not like we can just roll out of bed and just be ready to go. So there's a lot of work that goes, a lot of prep time that goes into that night. So tops, you guys really need to appreciate what your bottoms do for you.
Well, good, man. Yeah. See?
I have a question. Do you think any part of this has to do, because isn't there like a perception in the gay community that they're, are not a lot of tops compared to bottoms, and like the scarcity factor?
Well, I think that's just Austin. Like,
oh, is it? I feel like I've heard people say that in other cities.
In other cities too. Yeah, there's never enough tops.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, there are a lot of thirsty bottom bitches out there, but let's be real.
I feel like the bottoms, at the bar are like I go to, females of the gay community treated like that.
Yeah.
Because it's like women with their vaginas.
That's where, I bet you that's where it comes from.
Yeah. It's almost, it's not only, it's also like machismo, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally machismo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Y'all gotta get it together out there. Sex is sex. You can't have, it's yin and yang. You can't have one without the other. You know, and you gotta learn to appreciate what your other half is giving for you and doing for you and giving you. Right, guys? Yeah. So stop with the bottom shaming out there. Stop with the top privilege and love each other.
Yes.
Our next segment is Ay, mi gente.
Ay, mi gente.
So it's just like, oh, my people. And so this is kind of like the counterbalance to our other segment.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Because this is where we're calling out our own people. For shit.
Yes.
Which we have to do.
Sometimes we got
to
do that.
Yes, we have to. Can't be like the Republicans where they see no faults in any of their people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's only through really looking at ourselves in the mirror that we arrive at a better place, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes, yes. So this one has to do with, so I'm Latino. I'm Mexican-American. Literally, I have citizenship in both countries.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm actually really excited about it. So I'm Mexican-American, and just seeing how my people can litter like motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
Like, I love my culture so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I connect with other Latinos that is I don't do as much with other people. When we, you guys being the exception, of course, like, because we're like a family.
We are family.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like whenever I'm in Mexico and I'm just around my people, I mean, I'm sure you guys experience too, like when you're around other African Americans.
Oh yeah, we got all kinds of Ami Gentes coming up.
Yeah.
But what is it about the littering that breaks your heart?
Because I expect more. Because there is so much beauty in the culture, especially if you think of like the arts and crafts and even the food, and it's just so creative and beautiful stuff. And then to just be so negligent about just throwing shit in the street. And yes, it happens everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does it. Not every culture does it. But I don't know, maybe because it's my own culture, I'm being more critical.
I think, honestly, and this is, maybe I'm being devil's advocate, but I feel like, you know, the Latino community felt like this was more their place, you know, maybe.
But I see it in Mexico, too, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's that whole, like, you know, with my mom, she doesn't believe in recycling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like their priorities yeah. I wonder if it's Catholicism or something with religion, because my mom's like, oh, well, we're not going to be here anyway. The rapture is going to take us all. And, you know, so she doesn't really believe in investing in the earth because the religion...
Well, it's kind of surprising for me because from my experiences in Mexico in particular, there is a deep connection to the Indian view of things.
Yeah, and the earth.
The earth is so pervasive.
Maybe that's what it is. It's a disparity between like this deep connection with earth and, you know.
Then people throwing shit everywhere.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This one was... Go camping and have some songs around a fire and...
Maybe, obviously the people who are more connected with el campo, with the land, are going to be more in touch and more cuidadoso. Uh-huh.
Yes, everybody, Dave is bilingual. He speaks Spanish very well.
I'm many bis. But anyway, I think that you have a couple issues there, Mike, that maybe because you should consider in your shame of the people. Consider this. I think we need to recognize the effect that poverty has on people's behaviors.
Huge.
I mean, let's go to some of the poor parts here around Austin and see if the same issues don't exist.
And pollution, it does. And littering. That's what sparked it.
Yeah.
I was behind a car here in my neighborhood, which is... it's an interesting spot. It's like on the cusp of like an up and coming new development, but also like this really older neighborhood where it's lots of POC, especially African Americans. Mm-hmm. But I was behind this car the other day and it was Latino people inside, because at one point I was next to them. But as I was behind them, we're at a stop sign and they literally just like roll down their window and throw out a Whataburger bag. Throw out a container of fries. Terrible. Throw out a drink. Just it's almost like one by one, like it was deliberate. And I was just like, what are you people thinking?
Well, they can't have their cars sucio, dirty. Can't make their car dirty. No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think that people are going to continue to learn, though. I think we need to keep making ourselves known that that's not okay.
Well,
you know,
maybe we can go into the communities of poor POCs, and because I really do think it's a socioeconomic thing.
I think your
priorities are just...
Yes, priorities in life are not...
You know, and saving the earth, when your future isn't bright anyway, and I'm not saying in the Latino community there's tons of that, but I'm just saying,
when your prospects are dim, right? Yeah. When you're having a hard go at things, it's going to be hard to really care about this trash that, you know, you're carrying, you know, but I've noticed too, when I've gone to Mexico and I try to go every year, guys who are listening, to Guadalajara, and that city has had issues with pollution in the past, but they are starting to learn. You're seeing more recycling bins put around the city. You're seeing that the city is adopting more recycling measures. You're seeing that there's this consciousness but developing even within the city dwellers that we can't just throw our trash, that we have to have better, garbage collection, and and I think that it will continue to change, but it's going to take voices out there to lead the way. So congratulations. Definitely. For bringing that up today.
Yeah,
we need to talk about it more. For sure.
I think so. Yeah, we need to call ourselves out.
So I mean, gente, pick up your trash.
Yes. Lessons learned. That's our next segment, and in this, Dave and I, who both speak Spanish, will be giving Spanish lessons to Kim.
Yay!
Who has an amazing mind for languages, actually.
She does.
Yeah. Do you think that goes back to your past in doing opera stuff?
I do. I feel like... I also think that it comes from my father being in the military and me being exposed to hearing, you know, Japanese, languages, Philippines...
Whatever.
I was
going to
say Filipino, and then
whatever
I was like, is that
speak?
Right?
Yes. They speak Fallopian.
Sound like an idiot. But yeah, I mean, I was just exposed to hearing lots of languages. I do think that I have...
an aptitude.
An aptitude?
Yeah.
I think I have an attitude. Me too.
She got an attitude.
Yes.
Yeah, but so I'm excited. Yay.
Yes,
and this
because
is also...
Because when I dated Michael, I got to say this, because I used to date Michael, I begged him to teach me Spanish and to speak to me in Spanish, and he just didn't do it enough.
He never had tempo for that.
I know. Dave has the same critique. They may have the same critique.
We could have been, I could have been bilingual.
It feels weird to
Dave
me.
Dave got more than I did.
That's because I forced myself to speak Spanish to me, and I forced speaking Spanish to him. Yeah. So.
It just feels weird to me to teach Spanish, because it's like, it's such, I don't know. It's kind of like, I'm an educator, and I teach reading, but for 1 year, I taught art, which is what my background is, my real career, and it didn't feel right for some reason. It's kind of on the par with that, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe too, that you've got like the instinct for pronunciation, but having to teach like all the rules of grammar and stuff is like, you feel as an educator that should come with it. And because you did not grow up learning that part of Spanish, right?
No. I mean, I never studied it academically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that has some to do with it too.
True. Anyways,
well,
wait a minute. How did this turn into a segment about calling me out?
were we calling you out?
No, let's change this segment to let's call out Michael.
In Spanish.
Everything wrong with Michael.
In Spanish.
Go. Okay. Just kidding. We love Michael. Okay. So anyway, here's what we're gonna teach Kim today. We're gonna teach her the difference between two words that are often confused in Spanish. And if you don't understand the difference, and you're speaking
in some countries, yes,
you could be making some very big faux pas when you're using these words. So, Michael, the two words are coger y recoger. Yes. So, what are we learning today?
Okay, so especially like in Mexico, using the word coger, which a lot of other Latin countries used, meaning to grab something or to get it, means to fuck.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, like yo quiero coger, like I want to get you, grab you, do you. It's that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a big one. We started with the most important distinction for this lesson.
Yes.
So if you say, go ahead and use the example of coger as it's used to grab.
Yes.
So...
Okay.
Yo cojo esta cosa.
Yes. Yo quiero coger el vaso.
Okay. So that means I want to grab the cup.
Yes.
Right?
Unless you literally are trying to say, I want to fuck the cup.
In Mexico, if you say, yo quiero coger el vaso, people are going to look at you kind of crazy.
Yes. It's like, they'll hand you a bottle of lube and leave the room.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're in a gay club, they might be like, okay, buy me a drink first. But.
But, so recoger, which should, and, you know, because coger still technically means to get and grab, but it has this other connotation that's become so much stronger.
So much stronger.
So people say recoger, which means to grab or get again.
Oh, recoger.
And that's used in place of coger.
Oh, so that's the better word.
So it's funny because it's grammatically not correct, but...
Totally.
Re-grab.
Yeah. I'm going to re-grab this pencil. You know?
Wow.
But just so it doesn't...
That's amazing. See, I didn't know that history of recoger. So, but now it makes sense why we would say recoger, yo quiero recoger esa cosa, I want to grab that thing.
Yeah.
But, and you know, normally if you were in Spain, you would say, yo quiero coger esa cosa.
Oh, yeah.
Or you would say it more with your tongue, like, you know, like that. But anyway, that's a whole other
lesson. Sounds like another invitation to me.
You know how the Spanish speak with their tongue? It's beautiful, but I can't do it. But anyway, that's the difference, ladies and gentlemen, coger y recoger. So I guess we should probably get Kim to practice this in a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to have Kim
yo
say
quiero
to
recoger.
Yeah, you're good.
I want to grab.
¿Qué cosa quieres recoger?
La luz.
La vela. She's pointing to a candle we have going here.
Oh, la vela.
Yeah.
So,
say it again.
Say it again, complete sentence.
Okay. Yo quiero recoger la... I forgot that quick.
Vela.
Vela.
Yes. Okay, now say I want to fuck the candle.
Yo quiero coger...
La vela.
La vela.
La vela. La vela. How am I going to remember that? Vela.
Yeah.
Or veladora, you can say too.
Veladora, yeah. I've seen veladora. It's a very beautiful word. Mm-hmm. So now you know, ladies and gentlemen, the difference between coger y recoger. So make sure if you are one of those gringos out there who's trying to sound, you know, like you speak a Spanish, make sure you know the difference between coger y recoger. I'm glad that Mike taught me that lesson early on because I would have made many, many mistakes.
You might have got a lot of dates out of that.
That's true.
Yeah, that too.
When you're on your visits to Mexico. So, you know, don't count it out yet.
Yeah, there you go.
So what do you do then, or what would you say then, if you do want to grab something again? Oh. Yo quiero recoger.
Now you're just making up words.
Could you say obtain instead? Or is that too formal?
Obtener. That's so formal, though.
That's a little formal.
I'd like to reobtain.
I'd like to obtain that candle, please.
That's a little too formal.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
That's a really good question. So how do you say, I want to re-grab something?
But would you say, I want to re-grab?
Yo quiero recoger otra vez.
I mean, who would say
that? Yeah, there you go.
What?
Yo lo quiero recoger de nuevo.
De nuevo.
De nuevo.
De nuevo.
De nuevo. Like, that sounds like eggs.
No, you're not trying to grab someone's eggs. De nuevo.
De nuevo.
Yeah.
De nuevo.
Which means like again.
Oh, de nuevo means again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was repetan.
No, that's
I thought repetan was
repetir.
Oh,
means to repeat.
To repeat.
Oh.
Yeah.
It also sounded Russian.
Well, isn't
to me.
Repeat it again?
We have our special guest Katya on the show.
Okay, so that's all we have for today's Lección is Learned. Next week we'll be having another lesson with Kim and teaching her Español.
Yay!
All right, so our next segment is Eso, 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 where we want to kind of end on a positive note. So it's about the good things that are happening in the world. As many of you know, I'm sure probably most of you, recently in Austin, we had a really horrible situation where we had a terrorist who was sending bombs and booby-trapping packages and whatnot to harm and kill people. And it was really, really...
disgruntled single white male.
Yeah. Probably. Religious. Mm-hmm. Religious.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And... It was weird. It was surreal. Like, it almost still feels as if, like, it was a TV show or something.
Or a bad movie.
Yeah. Mm. But it still does seep into your subconsciousness.
Well, I think it's because it is terrorism. That is what terrorism does.
Yeah, they're terrorizing you.
They are terrorizing the city. And that's what they did for a week there, it seemed like. It was
a little bit longer than a week.
Yeah. People were afraid to get their packages, you know. You looked at a package at somebody's door and you were scared. Oh.
When it first like really came out after the second case happened, I literally came home that day after learning about it and I had two packages on my front porch.
Oh, my God.
And I was sitting in my car, like, going through my email, like, okay, am I expecting packages? Okay, here's one from Amazon I'm supposed to get.
Wow.
I couldn't think of the other one until I found it. Yeah, and I was like, oh, but that was scary. Wow. Really scary.
This is random. This is just bad karma for you, because remember you did that to me with the branches after the Blair Witch Project? You terrorized me with the branches.
But that's out of love. Oh, yeah. And you didn't die. You weren't physically harmed.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was...
Man, I can't believe you remember that. That was a long-ass time
ago. Dude, it terrorized me.
Are you serious?
Dude, I threw up after that movie.
Oh, well, that was just from the motion sickness.
Yeah, that was motion sickness.
Anyway, back to this.
So, you know, of course, like, the first couple of victims died. Another, though, they believe that it was sent to the wrong house. And this... older woman who was in her 70s, who was the sole caretaker for her 90 something year old mother, picked up a package and it exploded. And she survived.
Wow.
But obviously had horrible, horrible injuries. Mm. It broke her legs and, you know, it was just horrible.
Terrifying.
And her name is Esperanza Hope Herrera. And I really, especially like seeing a photo of her, it really got to me because it reminded me a lot of my mom. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I wouldn't obviously be horrified and feeling for a person if I had no connection to them.
Right. And we definitely feel for the other victims as well.
Who died. They lost their lives. Their families don't have them anymore.
These wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah. Yeah. But, but just knowing that... she was still alive and having to suffer and go through all this. Mm. Well, the SOSOSO, like the positive twist to this, which, you know, is no consolation to what she's having to go through, obviously, but was that a GoFundMe was started to pay for her hospital bills and to help with her care of her mother in her absence while she's in the hospital. They started this GoFundMe, and I think they were trying to raise like $70,000 or something. And it, the last I checked, it was like in the 90,000.
Oh, thank God.
And that was just like such a great positive thing to come out of something so dark.
Yes.
That people came together for this person.
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, I just thought that was like a really beautiful thing. And I was very proud of my community for that.
That's wonderful.
Yes,
yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
What a great, great thing. Mm-hmm. And I hope that she is able to recover completely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And her family can move on.
Yes.
From this terrorizing incident. Yes. As quickly as possible.
She'll need to, I mean, it would be good for her to get some services, counseling and things like
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Because,
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, so the fund, I mean, all because they've raised,
yes,
you know, in the 90s. I mean, yeah. I think the trauma from that experience.
Exactly.
It's there to be commended, but don't stop.
No. You know, and of course, keep the families of the other victims in your thoughts as well. And, you know, I mean, it was horrible. It was an awful thing. But, you know, seeing how our community here came together was really nice. And I'm sure people who don't live in our community also contributed. But just the way people talked about the situation here in town and, you know, the outpouring of support, emotional support for those families.
It was
nice.
So we should pitch in too, and maybe we should post the link to the GoFundMe on our website as well.
Yeah, we'll check. I don't know if it's still active, but if it is, we'll
post it. If it is, we'll definitely post it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, go.
That brings us to the end of our first podcast.
Yay.
First
how do I say
podcast.
You in Spanish?
Yes.
You say yay. Well, we have some champagne bottles that we need to be popping right now to celebrate our first podcast.
Yeah. Pop.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back soon next week to talk about more stuff in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, this is Dave,
Kim,
and Michael, and please always remember, we're stronger when we build puentes to connect the POVs of POCs.
Yes.
Thanks. See you next time.